Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bolton who get us underway. Attacking the covered end, stops Baptiste with the ball out. It's Clare running into the edge of the area. Finds Blackett Taylor on the right, ball into the box, drilled across, Davidson! With the opening strike for the Addicts. Superbly worked move. Clare intercepted the ball from Baptiste out. He fed Blackett Taylor on the right, and the ball very similar to the Davidson goal was drilled home. And Joel Neville
struggling to clear their lines, and Williams with a diagonal ball across towards Afolayan, will look to take on Matthews. Cuts inside with the right foot with the shot, and it's managed to squirm its way in. I think it's Kieran Lee who jumps over it, and Bowen have an equaliser.
What am I going to say, Greg? Please show him outside. Yeah, we say it every time there's a goal against, almost.
He's managed to get out to Jones again. Ball into the box. It's a clear shot from Sarcevic. It takes a deflection. And beyond McElroy. It was Lee, in fact, who took the shot. I beg your pardon, but still took the deflection, I feel. Wrong-footed McElroy. Bolton have the lead on 72 and a half minutes.
And I know I said it just moments ago, but we are looking tired and we are backing off.
The penalty area now, takes him back onto his right foot, takes a shot. I was taking two deflection, Lee with a simple touch in. And Bolton get their third. It stemmed from the, what looked to be a foul on Lee. Bolton break down the Charlton right-hand side. And for Lyon and Lee with the overlap on Matthews, but once again Charlton let him to come back in on his right. He gets the shot away, took a couple of deflections. I think it might have been Lavelle who just got his foot there, stopped it dead, and just allowed Lee then to bury his second, and Bolton's third.
Yeah, listen, it's a 2v1 against Matthews again in the left-hand area. Blackett Taylor absolutely is spent, can't get back, can't help.
Lee tries to send it long, looking for runners, and I think Sarcevic has beaten the offside trap. Goes around McGilvery, and there's number four. I guess with Charlton pressing, leaving gaps at the back was always likely, and Bolton have just punished Charlton for that.
That's one way of looking at it, Terry. The other way is, why on earth are you trying to play offside with in added on time? You've got a disjointed line, your left back's deeper than the rest. He puts his arm up, hoping and praying the flag goes up. It doesn't come, and it's a decent finish in the end. He rounds McGilvray and slots it into the back of net, but it's... it's a harsh scoreline, but we have capitulated since we conceded the second. And it's one thing that I think you have to look at. When we have setbacks, we don't particularly deal with them very well.
It's tough to commentate. You know, when your team you support, the team you want to see do well, is pegged back, and it's turned into a bit of a naughty evening. Such a shame, because we were very much in the game for 70 minutes, but the game isn't over 70, it's over 90 or 98 tonight. And we've conceded too many soft goals again, I'm afraid.
And that is the final whistle.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes. We will be looking back at Tuesday's frustrating, that's probably not strong enough of a word, 4-1 home defeat against Bolton Wanderers. And of course, looking ahead to the game with Fleetwood on Saturday, all the while hearing from the man who still is the Charlton manager, Nigel Adkins. From you guys as well. Joining me to do that, Mr. Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I've got myself a packet of Twiglets, a nice little IPA, so that'll get me through the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're at that sort of that lovely, the best part of the week, as far away from the Saturday game as we were from the Tuesday game. So like, it's almost like they can't upset us today for at least an hour, which is nice. Also joining us is Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark? Are you still positive as you were on Sunday?
Yeah, thanks for rubbing that in. Benji's got his IPA. I'm an old man. I've got a cup of tea and I've got a couple of biscuits, so yeah. I'm good for the next bit.
Yeah, I just had some wheat crunchies and some coffee. Now you're all up to date with what we've all been eating and drinking. we'll get you up to date with the football as well. So we just heard there the goals from the game against Bolton Wanderers, a game that for an hour seemed to be going so well, but then in a way, more worrying that we had a good hour and then still capitulated in the fashion that we did after going 2-1 down, going on to lose by 4-1. Again, as you can imagine, large, loud calls for the head of the manager, Nigel Adkins. I spoke to him after the game. We're going to hear that shortly because obviously it's got to that stage now where questions about his future came up. So you'll hear what he said to me and obviously the way he says it as well. Ben... The game itself, then, are you surprised that Nigel's still here after that?
Well, yeah, on last week's show, I kind of said, you put me on the spot and said, well, how long would you give him? And I said, well, I'd give him 10 games. I think that's a fair amount of time after the players have come in. And I said, from the next two games, I think we need at least 4 points. And we've come out of it with 1 point and conceding 4 goals at home to Bolton. So... it wasn't a 4-1 game, definitely not. I think we, as you just said at the start there, we played well for 60 minutes. And if Elliot Lee scores that great chance to make it 2-0 in the first half, it could be a totally different game. But football's a game of fine margins. They scored a couple of deflected efforts, which had bounced in the right way of them and put it away. But it's just a tale of our season so far. We've been dominant in some games, but we've not been consistent the whole way throughout the game to see the game out.
Yeah, it's those spells, isn't it? It's those spells that we haven't been taken advantage of. And you spoke about that chance for Lee there, Ben. It is funny to think that if that had gone in, it would have been different. But obviously it didn't. And it's how it is, Ben, how they reacted to the fact that when we were on top in the second half, unlike against Portsmouth, where they came back, they fell apart.
Yeah, it was similar to the Gillingham game for me. We were dropping back. We were letting them come at us. They seemed to have a lot more energy than us. And then every ball that came into the box, we just looked shaky. I mean, the goal to make it 2-1, I mean, we're all over the shop. Matthews is like marking two men at the far post. Famwell and Lavelle are spread apart. Should be closer together because a guy nips in between them. And it just seemed like, a totally different side from the first half where the confidence was flowing. Okay, they get that goal just before half time, like Wickham did to us, which kind of knocks us back. But again, our whole just positioning, everything about the team just totally changed. I don't know if that goal before half time just really rocks us mentally. And we just don't know. We don't have a plan B to kind of attack that and change our system to change against theirs. I saw Ian Everett said that we knew once they pressed us in that first half that they would tire, and we knew we'd get chances after that. And yeah, just teams seem to know how to get at us.
And Mark, that's obviously one of the most concerning things, as I've said, about the fact that we can have a good hour and then fall apart following that. I mean, Nigel must, he must be looking at that hour and thinking, right, I'm finally getting some sort of tune out of this team again. You know, there's been a couple of good spells against Gillingham and Portsmouth, and now we're seeing a good performance starting on the front foot. But does that look to confidence? I mean, obviously fitness is part of it as well, but it doesn't bode well when it gets to that stage now where you wonder how Nigel comes back from that, when he can have a good hour and still just nothing happens, and it just feels like nothing's going to go right. And obviously there's, you know, I said it in my piece on Tuesday, there's like a stench around the ground now, and it feels like you need something quite significant to change things.
Well, I think tactically he's coming across for such an experienced manager as naive. I mean, I saw the same quote from the Bolton manager saying they could see what we were doing, they could see the big gaps, and they knew they could exploit them. Now, once that's been exploited a couple of times, surely it's the manager's job on the side to shout at somebody, to change the formation, to plug those holes. To leave it as it is just seems madness. You know, he was found out against Gillingham, against Steve Evans. Steve Evans outthought him, which is, you know, the only thing I would have thought Steve Evans could do was out-eat somebody, but he outthought Nigel Atkins. And it happened again. I mean, Portsmouth, again, yeah, that could have gone either way. But tactically, it just seems so naive. And I think the positive movement we had on the pitch was almost in spite of Nigel, as opposed to his great tactical planning and getting them to play well. I think the players came out with a purpose, and I think some of them wanted to take their chance in that first, you know, 40 minutes. Up until 40 minutes, I thought we were good. Then the goal goes in, and they always say it's the worst time to concede, just before half-time, because it changes what the manager's going to say. But I think there was nothing to change in that second half. If you'd had, now, say you had Kirk and Jayasimi on the bench, you'd bring them on for the second half, so you've got fresh legs running at their full-backs, doing almost the same job which Blackett Taylor and Lico were doing in the first half. I think we could have annihilated them. But we didn't. We just had players who were running out of energy, running out of steam, running out of puff, running out of ideas. And by the time the fourth one went in, I think most Charlton fans were just shrugging their shoulders and going, yeah, we expected that.
Yeah, is that sort of inevitability about the way things have been going, that as soon as we went 2-1 down, and, you know, it was funny that we had done that on the Saturday against Portsmouth, but it just didn't feel like we were going to get back into it this time. And obviously it went from bad to worse, and now we find ourselves in this position. I mean, Nigel's demeanour certainly changed after the game, Benji. You know, it's the first time I've spoken to him where actually, I mean, he came out unprompted before I'd even started to ask the questions about his future. And reiterating that he wants to be here, he wants. So it does make you wonder what has been said behind closed doors. And I did ask him, but obviously it's up to him if he wanted to reveal anything, which he didn't. But he looked absolutely shell-shocked to the extent I genuinely did feel sorry for him, because we know he's not doing it on purpose. We know he's trying his best to try and get something to happen for him here, but it's getting to that stage now where you're wondering, 10 games in, 23rd in League One, if it is ever going to happen.
Yeah, I'm just pleased he didn't put an umbrella up, otherwise it would have been like Steve McLaren for in those England days. That would have topped it off. But no, look, we've said on this show before that we do feel for him, because the window was slow. And that seemed like it was out of his hands. Of course, he would have liked to have acted earlier in this window. He spoke about it in the interview the other day after the Portsmouth game, how players were getting minutes. And it was like a pre-season for them, in a way that Gilby, Papasuare, Ben Purrington just coming back from injury, those players are getting minutes. So in terms of that, I do feel for him. I think he has been dealt a bad hand there in terms of Thomas acting slow in the window. You can see that, but the chopping and changing just doesn't help. I mean, the change in personnel all the time, just when a player's getting into their rhythm, like I thought Ben Purrington had a good game against Gillingham, then it's back to Papasuare in against Portsmouth, then it's Ben Purrington back in again. I mean, I saw a few people knocking McGilvray for the goal on Tuesday. I just feel sorry for him. He's got chopped and changed back four in front of him all the time. How's he supposed to get a relationship going with them? I mean, when we had that winning streak last season, I think we had the same literally unchanged team for about 6-7 games in a row. And we're just, I don't know if he knows his best 11. I mean, Mark just mentioned there about Charlie Kirk. I mean, did he sign Charlie Kirk? Because surely if you spent that amount of money on a player, you're going, right, I don't care if he didn't play well that game, I'm going to get the best out of him because I've paid enough money on him and he proves he's a great player for Crewe, so I'm going to keep playing him and we will see the best of him. But instead, we're not even seeing him on the bench. It doesn't surprise me that his demeanour's changed now. I know he's a positive guy and he's come out with some positive comments today, saying, I do believe I can change you around and that, but we're just not seeing it in action. We, again, as you said, we saw a reaction second half against Portsmouth, and I thought Sean Clare was quite dynamic when he came on in the midfield, and I thought he changed the game really for me. And I didn't feel that we felt like we were going to concede that goal. I think it was against a run of play, but we did, and we're just giving away too many cheap goals. Teams are doing the basics around us, and we can't deal with it. So,
and one part of that, in particular, Mark, is goals from the edge of the area. I mean, this became a bit of a recurring theme last season, didn't it? And everyone's saying, oh, Amos is getting beaten too easily from distance. And I was, at a time last year, I was like, well, to be fair, some of these are absolute worldie strikes, but as they continue and continue, thinking, right, we really should start to close people down on the edge of the area. And it's clearly something we haven't learned. I mean, I picked three goals just from the last few weeks, you know, away at Wickham, Gareth McCleary's opening goal. He sort of danced past George Dobson. Obviously, the opening goal for Portsmouth on last Saturday. And of course, Bolton's equaliser for Athlone on Tuesday. And I think when you think about it, you could probably argue that a couple of the other ones involved shots on the edge of the area that weren't closed down as well, although he closed down too late and it ended up in a deflection. So, I mean, basic parts of defending, we still haven't picked up.
Yeah, you show your man to the outside. You force him out. Now, in when they have their training, the players get told who they're likely to come up against, what their stronger foot is, what way they like to go. So there's no way that Matthews didn't know that that guy would want to cut in onto his right and have a poke. So he should be showing him down the line and forcing him out until he can get help. What's he do? He stands back, he lets the guy swivel inside, boom, it's in the back of the net. It was a good shot. You know, I don't think you can blame Mac for that. I don't think really he's been at fault for many of our goals. I think it's been a lack of cohesion between the defence and the midfield. Now, you've got a sitting midfielder like Watson, you know, or Clare, they should be helping out the defence if you're being pummeled like that. But they're not. There seems to be overloads everywhere you go. And I think that's just a confusion which has been instilled in them in training. They've been told, right, stay there, you know, you'll get the ball, pass it, lovely, lovely, lovely. What they're not being told is, right, you've lost the ball, where should you be? That seems to be like, oh, we forgot to cover that in training today. We were so busy looking fantastic against dustbins that we haven't decided to learn how to defend. You're right, it's a basic thing. Any professional footballer should be able to head the ball away, kick the ball away, show the man, hold their man up, force the guy into a decision. That's what you was told. Now, you keep backing off, the guy's going to have more time to think about what he's going to do. You force the guy out, you go to the guy, say, you know, even foul him there, take a card, deal with a free kick. And it just seems to be an incompetence level. And it's hard to, I mean, I think Matthews has been at fault now for a couple of goals, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Gunter come back in. But it just does seem to be across the board. No one seems to be taking a responsibility to drop back and hold. They're all thinking, right, I've been told I've got to be here. And they just sort of like lurking on the sort of like in the centre circle.
Yeah. Right, just before we hear from Nigel Adkins then, Ben, and, you know, we've always have to be balanced, and we've highlighted over and over again the very disappointing parts of what happened on Tuesday. But we had a really good first hour. You know, are we clinging on to that in some way? Is Thomas clinging on to that? Is that the reason why Nigel's still here?
I kind of look at it and I think a lot of teams, except for Nottingham Forest this year, of even if they're doing poorly, they're keeping on to their managers. They give them to that international break window. I know in the Championship they often do that. So I wonder if he's doing that because then, apart from the pizza trophy on Tuesday night, you got 2 weeks to let a new guy bed in. But look, it was Thomas's first appointment. He's put a lot of confidence and faith in Nigel, and we did see some good performances last year. So is he taking some of the blame himself and thinking, well, I am partly to blame because I didn't get these players in quick enough for you? So I can see that starting to gel. I can see that as part of the reason why he's still here. But yeah, he has changed it around a little bit. And there were some promising performances on on Tuesday. Josh Davison, I thought Sean Clare had a good game, and I thought Corey Blackett-Taylor and Lecco looked really good in the first half. So they're players that have just integrated into the team that are slowly coming up to pace with it. So maybe he's looking at that and thinking, I will give him a bit of time. But I mean, look, nothing's better than a win on Saturday at Fleetwood. If we draw again, then we're 4 points from getting out of the relegation zone at the moment. If at a point, we're going to be more in there, and it just doesn't look good, does it? I mean, heads will drop, and suddenly we are looking at just trying to just get up to mid-table, and our plans totally change.
Certainly. Right, let's hear from Nigel Adkins. There's, and I say, I don't know how much it comes across in his voice, but when I was looking into his eyes, obviously, when I was interviewing him, and he looked a broken man, a shell-shocked man at full time. This is what he had to say after the game against Bolton.
Overall, I thought we played very well in the first half. I don't think people can dispute that. I thought we started very brightly. We knew Bolton would want to keep possessing the football and play out. We set a good defensive shape about ourselves. That was plain to see. And that led to the first goal for us. You know, Sean Clare intercepting, putting the ball forward. Great cross into the box. And Josh Davison scored again. And we could have scored two or three after that as well. So first half, I thought we were in the ascendancy from that point of view, which is good. Very, does it change it a little bit? They've gone and scored bang on half-time. You know, we talked about the threats that they possess with a player cutting inside. And, you know, we've allowed them to come inside and get a shot. There's a discussion about whether the player's offside, whether he's impeding the goalkeeper. At the end of the day, that's, you know, from being in a good first-half performance, we go in level. Second half, obviously, it's a close game. They've gone and scored. Bolton have gone and scored 73rd minute, something like that, 73rd, 75th minute. And then we've got to try and get ourselves back in the game. Connor Washington could have just scored straight after that. Josh Davidson hits the post. But then they've gone down the other end and scored a couple of later on goals. A couple of deflections in there. That obviously makes the scoreline. And the mood around the whole stadium, one that we don't want.
And obviously that mood continues from the really disappointing start to the season as well. And despite the aspects of the game that were better, obviously they'll look at that full-time result and be concerned that they haven't seen anything really turning in terms of results on the pitch so far.
I can understand that. I've got, I totally understand where everyone, like myself, we're looking at it. You know, we're, I know everyone's working hard. I know we're preparing right. But ultimately we're not getting the results. You know, we've put a couple of good performances in just a little, although we end up in draws and not victories. We've started the game ever so well. We had a good game plan. But we've ended up on the wrong scoreline. And we all know that scoreline at home is not a good result, and the mood around the place. I've got total understanding for the supporters because I share that, because I want us to do well. I've come here to do well. We've got a long-term vision. You can talk about many reasons that go on behind the scenes. But from my point of view, you know, I want to be the Charlton Athletic manager, and we've got to keep working hard to get the players ready for the next game. The games are coming thick and fast. We've obviously got Fleetwood away at the weekend, so we're not going to be another challenge again, because this division, there's no easy games. It's perfectly clear for everybody to go and see. It's a very competitive and, for the neutral, very exciting league to go and watch.
So you just mentioned, obviously, you want to be the Charlton manager. Thomas Sandgaard bought you in. He has tweeted again this evening about the necessity that this needs to turn around. I mean, he was in the country the last few weeks. Obviously, you speak to him a lot. Has he given you an indication that you will be given a chance to see out this long-term vision if the results don't pick up any time soon?
I think we all know that the results have got to improve. You know, we're looking to get a stable side. It hasn't helped that we keep changing the side. And sometimes you're tinkering with the formation a little bit. But, you know, I'd like to think that the players now are to a level where we can start thinking about, yes, we can put a team out there with the confidence that players can go and play 90 minutes of football. So, you know, I've talked about that before. We've got to change it around. Obviously, there's been reasons that have been highlighted. But ultimately, the reality is, you know, where we are at this moment in time, we have to improve.
Defensively, obviously, being one of those parts, four goals conceded, you know, goals conceded quite a lot at home recently, and plenty of reasons or ways they could have been stopped before it happened.
Well, there you go. But as a team, we've got to defend, and we've got to defend better. You know, we can't concede the goals we conceded. We have been scoring in games, and we look at threatening games at times. So, you know, it's the two simple parts of the game, putting in one end and keeping out the other. And we're not doing well enough at keeping out at one end at the moment.
Obviously, the confidence when you do go a goal behind. I think we saw the team coming back on Saturday, but that almost felt like a bit of a one-off at the moment, because this evening, obviously, it went completely the other way.
Well, as you say, it's that last 10, 15 minutes, wasn't it? Well, we've gone chasing the game to try and see if we can go and get the win. And we've got done on the counter a bit from it. And you look at the fourth goal, you know, on the counter-attack, and I think the third goal was a lot of deflections going in there. So can't hide behind it. You know, it's a 4-1 defeat. The mood around the place, understandably, is not a good one. And, you know, as I said, I want to be the Charlton Athletic manager. The owner's come in, he's brought me in. There's a vision, there's a long-term vision. And we're having a challenging time at the moment. But obviously, from an experience point of view, once we can get a settled side, that's going to help establish what we are trying to achieve moving forward. But at the moment, we're right up against it, and I know that.
Obviously, it's difficult to be having this conversation when it probably was one of the better first hours of the season, and for it to sort of turn like that must be so frustrating.
Well, they said it's probably one of the better hours of the season, you know. So, you know, there's good things, but ultimately you get judged on results. So, you know, today's results has gone against us. But as you just said there, there was, you know, looking at the big picture, there's things that are all moving in the right direction. But this moment in time, don't hide away from the fact that the mood is not right. The mood is not good, understandably, because this football club, the stature of this football club, needs to be in a better position and winning games and not conceding goals as we are at this moment in time.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Kirk again. To his left is Gunter. Gunter with the cross. It's a search across. Chance! That's a lovely header. To Alan Giacini, a searching cross from Chris Gunter. Giacini beats McFadden to the ball against Charlton lead.
Yeah, and we talk about this week in, week out, about players anticipating coming in from the far side, getting inside the fullback, spotting that cross early, making the run, anticipate, get across your man and meet it well. I mean, it's a very brave header from Giacini.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. It's a big match preview. Obviously, we're still sort of looking back at the game against Bolton Wanderers, discussing the future of the manager, Nigel Adkins. A dreadful start to the season, a season in which we're expected to be challenging for promotion, but we're sat inside the relegation zone after 10 games, just one win to our name. Not quite our worst start ever, thanks to CFC Facts and Stats. I think we've got 1 point more than we have in a handful of our worst ever seasons after 10 games, but it's not exactly been a blistering start by any stretch of the imagination. Heard there from Nigel Adkins. Mark, one thing we don't know the answer to is what sort of owner is Thomas Sandgaard when it comes to his hiring and his firing policy. I guess maybe we got an inkling of it last time when obviously we went through a couple of poor runs under Lee Bowyer, and there was that game at home against Blackpool where we lost 3-0, ended with 9 men. It just felt like one of those end-of-days scenarios. But actually, he held on to Bow. We went on to go unbeaten for a little while after that. Possibly only lost one more game all season after that. But then Bow obviously left of his own accord. So maybe we take something from the fact that Bow wasn't sacked. But obviously, there's different circumstances surrounding different managers, different contracts, whatever. And this is a different situation because this is a manager that was picked himself by Thomas Sandgaard, Nigel Adkins, obviously. But so we don't really. It's not like with Roland, we knew that if we went on a bad 10-game run, we knew what to expect. You know, up until we got bored and just left people to it. With Thomas, we don't really know what to expect in terms of when he's going to pull, if or when he's going to pull the trigger.
No, you do wonder who was in on those meetings when Thomas was interviewing and said, oh, you know, Nigel Atkins is available, he's a good guy, he's got fits. Because obviously Thomas has come into football new, clean, as it were. And he runs a very successful pharmaceutical company in America. And you'd wonder, at what level in that company would he have a manager, a senior manager, make mistakes, basic errors, and be responsible for things going wrong, which are going to cost him money and problems for his business, before he says to that manager out there, right, that's it, P45, you know, put yourself in a box, security's going to see you out. If he's not getting the same advice over here, because I think he would look at it and go, right, I've given you 10 games now. Because we all said, let's see how after 10 games, yes, we had a late start to everything, but the players who we've brought in, I still stand by him. We've got some good players. We've got some players other teams would want. We just haven't got the right tune out of them yet. And I think with Thomas, it's hard to see. The weirdest thing on Tuesday night was at the end of a game, and Nigel went and fist bumped the opposition manager. Hello, well done, well done. And he walked out on the pitch, and the camera caught him, and he was smiling. And I've spoken to some friends about this. I said, was it me? Did my imagination? Was he smiling? And they said, actually, no, he's a dead man walking, because if he gets sacked, he's got his contract paid off, or he's still in the job, and he's thinking he's smiling, because either way, he's winning. I'm thinking, well, we're not winning.
I've seen a picture of. I mean, I personally would have described it as like a grimace or like a, I can't believe this is happening sort of thing. I don't think he was smiling as if to take the mick, like as in yeah.
No, it still looked odd though, Lou. I mean, and like I say, I thought, well, was it just me who saw that, or but you know, I spoke to other people who'd watched the game, and they said no, it's like one guy's mum was apoplectic. He said, I've never heard her swear so much. I said, what's he in smiling about? I don't know. It's a difficult question. I'm surprised. And when you see what people are saying, I would take a loss at Fleetwood if it guarantees him being gone. And you think to yourself, well, that's, you know, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. But you can understand, unless they've got someone to come in straight away, you know, it's a lot of pressure selling to put on Jacko to say, right, in 2 weeks' time, you've got 2 weeks with the players. You know, when you've recovered from your marathon, get them playing well. And, you know, we'll see how it goes as you as a caretaker. And then we make a decision or we look for somebody. I don't think the names being bandied around would come here. I don't think Chris Wilder would come here now. You know, there's someone saying about the Rangers guy, coach. And I'm thinking, it's a difficult one. But I think it comes down to who's advising Thomas. And that's what it comes down to. And I think that would be the interesting thing to know, put a name to that.
I mean, I'd be interested to know as well if part of the, you know, I mean, Don't forget, this is, you know, Nigel is Thomas's guy. He came in. It's a big 5-year plan, or you know, however many year plan. You look silly if all of a sudden you admit that you have to think a little bit more short term because of what's happening. I think that might play a part in it. Also, I think I just wonder how much Thomas looks introspectively and thinks, well, maybe I should have helped him with the squad a bit earlier. Maybe that's playing a part in Thomas's decision. You know, maybe he's just seeing it as a blip, you know, after what happened last season. But, you know, 10 games, is that a blip? I think it's possibly fanciful to say that, but maybe that's playing part of Thomas's thinking as well. Maybe he still backs Nigel to turn things around. It's very hard to say exactly why. You know, I think deep down, every Chomp fan wants Nigel Atkins to succeed. And, you know, obviously, some of the stuff that gets said online or in the stadium does get a bit personal, which is not something I like to see, and acting like, you know, Nigel Atkins is some sort of evil genius who's come here to try and destroy Charlton. And obviously that's not the case. He is trying his best, but obviously the question for everyone is, at what point does that time where you're given to try your best run out? And that was one of the questions that I did put to everyone on Twitter today. Let's have a look at some of those messages that have come in. Liz said, what a horrible wet evening it was on Tuesday. I don't think I've left the Charlton game so fed up. It was made much worse because we started well, but more like proper Charlton. We didn't capitalise though on our lead and then just fell apart. I hate to see Atkins go, but what else can we do? Spencer says the first half against Bolton was an improvement, but still nowhere near good enough. Too much tinkering. We need a settled side. Not sure how much more time Sandgaard will give Atkins. Lots of fans have lost patience. Lose at Fleetwood, and surely he must go. PGN says, what are your thoughts on why we've heard nothing from Johnny Jackson throughout this whole mess? He doesn't appear as much on the touchline during games either. It seems to me he's being pushed into the background. I'd love to know his views on things. It would be a bit weird if all of a sudden I think that the assistant manager came and started speaking out about the current situation, other than, you know, even then like a tweet or something. But, you know, I've already said I think it's probably best to sort of play your cards a little bit close to your chest in a situation like this, because every comment when the pressure's on like this just attracts criticism anyway, no matter who it comes from as well. Right, Martin says, a loss to Fleetwood, then it will be the end of Nigel Adkins. We will then have the 2 weeks, not including the Pizza Cup, to find a suitable replacement or allow Jacko to instill some fight and some backbone. James says, finding a winning formula. It was always going to be a challenge this season, but the woeful levels of fitness really disappoints me, and we're paying for it now. Several experienced players have also unperformed too. I feel a new manager would get some more out of these players. Alan says, Nigel has to go now. No way he can turn this season around. Tired of excuses of unfit players. The way they go on, it's like we're the only team who signed anyone. Tired of opposition managers after games telling the media how they know how to beat us. It's embarrassing. They can see what we see, and Nigel Adkins can't see. Carl says, it's the same old every game. Positive meetings and attitude in training hasn't come through on the pitch, and still left confused by team selections and subs. You look at what he said today in the press conference, and you have to wonder what he sees, talking about lots of good football this season. I'm sure that we would all question his definition of good football based on what we have seen this year. I don't think he can drill into a vision into this team before Cheltenham when he had 2 weeks. Another 10 of the starting squad and we still turned in a performance like we did. We've got no better since. Martin says, should Thomas make an announcement explaining why Nigel Adkins still has a job? Because the majority of fans lay the blame firmly at the manager's door. I mean, that would be, again, unusual. It's, you know, the vote of confidence, which is normally never a good thing. I mean, Thomas does say stuff, doesn't he, on Twitter after a game, Ben? Obviously, you heard me sort of question Nigel about it just then, or just say to him, obviously, Thomas is tweeting about it. So that's obviously, you know, that reflects on the manager. But again, I'll ask you, Ben, do you think Thomas should be tweeting after every game? I don't know if it serves a purpose. Obviously, we know he's upset, but at the same time, it's almost an invitation just to pile more pressure onto himself and to Nigel Adkins by the replies he gets on Twitter.
Yeah, look, it's nice to have a manager involved and it shows that he cares. I mean, it's the total opposite to what we had with Roland, who said he watched the game on a satellite, and we know he never did. It's nice that, look, Thomas is in America and he gets involved and stuff like that. I don't think he needs to tweet after every time we score or after the game. We don't need that all the time, and I don't think it's professional to mention the manager, what that guy said in the email. I don't agree with that, but that's his opinion. I don't think he should come out and say why I haven't sacked Nigel Adkins yet. But also, I don't think he should tweet as much. I think I said it last week. I don't think it helps. And as you know, Twitter can be a horrible place sometimes. Any old fan can pick up any little tweet you've done and pick you up on it, and then you get made to look silly. I mean, people having a tweet the club put out about petrol and stuff the other day. It's just, when the chips are down, everyone's going to come at you for anything. I'm sure if we were winning and he was tweeting, boom, boom, another goal, we're on a run, then it would be all good. But I think sometimes you just need to like check yourself and just think, okay, I'll do it when it's appropriate or something like that. But maybe he thinks because he's done it every game so far, he wants to keep it going. But It's nice to have the interaction with an owner. But at the same time, I think at this period of time, I think we just need to like gauge the situation and think, okay, I'll choose a time and a place.
Right. Well, Dean has tweeted in, said it needs... Nigel needs a real chance at the job. He asked for a squad in pre-season. He didn't get it until four games into the season, and then half of them were not match fit 10 games in. Pathetic to worry about relegation yet. Give him till January at the first. At least it will get better. That's from Dean. Cheers, Dean. Right, let's delve into the fans bar, shall we? Lewis went into crossbars. Only managed to get one interview after the game. There wasn't many people hanging around, unsurprisingly, in the horrible rain. Everyone just wanted to get home after the game against Bolton. But this is what our view from the fans bar told us.
I thought it was very harsh. 4-1 was not a fair reflection of the result at all. I thought quite decent in the first half. We passed it around pretty well. Decent perform, like individual performances, but let them back in very easily. Bolton didn't really seem to create much. Gave him an opportunity, sniffed it out, and just didn't really react to the game the way Bolton did. And I just thought 4-1 was just very harsh. I think there's a clear lack of confidence in the squad. I think Atkins can be a great manager, but it's at the moment it's not working. If you give it another 4 or 5 games, I don't really see how he can change it around. I can't off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone out there that they can turn to. I think if they gave Jackson and Newell a chance, the fans will certainly get behind them. Jackson and Newell being former players, they'll know how to set a team up. They know the club, they know the fans. Like I say, if the fans will get behind them. The guys I sit with, we spread back Kurbishley. The fans will get behind Kurbishley. But for me, I'd give Jackson a Newell chance.
Well, thank you very much to the fan there who spoke to Lewis in the fans bar. Right, let's have a look, couple of emails as well. Steve says, safe to assume... So he sent this on Tuesday. It says, safe to assume, I hope, that Atkins will be gone by the time you read this out on Thursday. Well, he's still here. A manager who can't even pronounce his own players' names correctly, like Josh Davison and Jonathan Lico, can't earn much respect in the dressing room. Changes that are needed. You need to appoint a hands-on full-time CEO who understands football. You need to get rid of Jed Roddy. You need to appoint a proper defensive coach. Stop conceding goals or we could be going down. Not quite panic stations yet, but we need to write off this season and hope that JJ and Yule can steady the ship, shore up the defence as priority and go from there. Steve says, good evening, gents. It's been very difficult to find an answer to Charlton's current plight. Yes, a change of manager might work, probably worth a try. So who do you bring in that would be willing to take over what can only be described as a very poor squad, apart from a few players worthy of a regular start in the team? They seem devoid of desire or any fight when things are going against them. Yes, I suppose Portsmouth was the exception, so they can do it. The collapse against Bolton, though, was more a sad reflection of our current situation. Thomas Sandgaard is seeing his and our dreams crumble before his eyes. I pray that somehow the players pick themselves up and show just how good they are, because they need to do it to get the fans back on side along with Atkins. Heaven help us if they don't. That's from Steve. Cheers. Steve McSquared said, yet another horror show at the Valley on Tuesday night, and there's still a month to go till Halloween. Although we look dangerous going forward, especially in the first half an hour, once again, our defence had more holes in it than a sieve. We looked especially vulnerable down our right flank, and Matthews and Watson looked particularly inept. We have no divine right to win at home or beat a side like Bolton, but it's the way we capitulated at the end that is totally inexcusable. Davison, Blackett, Taylor, Lee, Clare, Fainwo, all decent players at League One level, but far too many of the others are being found severely wanting. Teams are built from the back, not the front, and I would far rather see us ground out a couple of 0-0 results than what is happening at the moment. We appear to have no shape, and teams are able to cut through us like a knife through butter. And he's also calling for Curbs to come back in and sort out the defensive mess. Make sure we look difficult to beat, like whatever happened, like what happened back in the day. He says, whatever happens, things can't continue as they are. The buck has to stop with the person in charge, and it won't be long until it's a case of Nigel Sacktkins. That's very good. Right, Phil Hall says, hi guys, I think there's a lot more to our troubles than Nigel Atkins. I believe that he is as troubled by the poor performances as everyone else. He puts more into coaching the team during a match than Boya ever did, but I feel that due to a lack of confidence and belief that the players have due to the results, that they are not following the instructions. Nigel tries to get them to play the ball forward, but the lack of running off the ball means that most players are reasonably closely marked and the defence and midfield are desperate not to concede possession, resulting in playing it short and sideways and backwards passing. Yeah, apparently your problem is there. It says keep up the good work, and there is a belief that this will turn around. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. Duncan says that Adkins has to go. Foolishly, I've been reassuring myself that we will come good and our march up the league would start. I took comfort from Oxford and Blackpool's poor starts last season. Realisation now is set in that we're in a relegation battle, a League One relegation battle, and we're 4 points from safety. What is going on when on paper we should be having a great season? Adkins has to go. Yes, there have been signs of improvement, like 20, 30 minutes on Tuesday, but they are fleeting. The players' confidence is draining away. How ironic when our manager is the most positive person in football. I'm not sure that Johnny and or Jason are the answer. How responsible are they for what's going on now? One of the many things that frustrated me is that we're repeating the same mistakes in consecutive matches. I'd expect Adkins to have resigned by now. If Thomas doesn't sack him, then we will likely be playing League Two football next season. All right, Mark, how likely is it then? I mean, we've spoken, you know, a couple more emails to come, but people are, I mean, we are 4 points from safety. That's where we are. How likely is it that we're going to be in this relegation battle for the rest of the season?
Well, we've got 6 points from 10 games. 46 games in the season, so it's 36 games to go. So if this carried on, we'd end up with 30 points and we'd be bottom of the pile and we'd be looking at going to Exeter and Orient and all those delightful places next season. It's difficult because they need confidence. They don't have it. You could see that when the third goal went in, and yeah, it was an unlucky deflection, fell to the guy who was unmarked. He could have had a cup of tea like me and then put it away. But you just saw there was nothing. There was no... When that third one went in, that's when it dropped. And you're just like, oh, there's nothing there. Just someone to G them up. I think it's on a knife edge. It's a 50-50, it's a toss of a coin. I agree, I think we've got the players who can get us out of it. Do we have a players who will get us out of it? Is a separate question. Do we have a manager who will get us out of it? That's the one I'm struggling with. Mm. Because like I say, I think tactically he's become naive. And as I said earlier in the show, it's when you're being out-thought by some of these managers and they can see what we're doing and they can counteract it better, that's when there's an issue. Would Jacko and Jason come in, turn it around? I don't know. It's the new manager, ex-player combination. You'd hope they'd be able to get something out of them. But I think the difference is, I think if Jacko and Jason did take over, I think you'd find more of a settled team. You'd see the same players doing 3, 4, 5 games with the odd tweak here and there. You know, if someone gets injured, I don't think you'd see the amount of changes that we're watching each week. Because, I mean, if I couldn't name the starting team for Saturday. Mm. I could probably name you the goalkeeper and everything else. I can tell you who's not going to be there, the injured players. Everything else is a complete and utter lottery. So, you know, there's 1 to 10 or 2 to 11, no idea. And I think that's if we as fans, because you used to be able to say, right, I know who's starting. I know who's going to be on the left, I know who's going to be centre-half, who's good in the midfield. Now, we just have no clue. And, I mean, it's hard to say, like, you know, we are missing someone like Jake in the middle, who's got a head, who can tackle, who reads the game well. But he's not going to be back. So the players who are there have to do it. And you have to say, right, this is going to be the team for the next 5 games. Mm. Boom.
But again, it's that question of none of us, unfortunately, are sports scientists who can tell you who's hit what, red zone, etc., etc. Right, a couple more emails before we start to really look ahead to Fleetwood. Callum says, good afternoon. I hope you guys are doing as well as possible, despite all the dross we get put through every week. First of all, I want to say that Nigel Adkins is honestly a quality bloke. What he does to advocate mental health is fantastic, and positivity and ambition certainly led me to have faith in him. And he did well in his stint last season. However, I feel he's been out of the game far too long, especially with a side that is competitive and challenging for the next level. I can't see what's going on behind closed doors, but I'm so confused with Kirk and DJ and Dobson and Morgan not getting a look in the first team at the moment. but then going and do 45 in the 23s. Teams that succeed in this league are usually teams that don't make too many changes to the side and know their strongest 11 formation and style of play. We've made 25 or so changes, yes, 23 I think in the last four or five, in the last four games. Surely we can't expect to be getting points when teams around us starting to find their feet and we're still mixing around with the team. There is the excuse that Adkins would have liked to have this team together for the start of pre-season, but technically he's had them now for the same amount of time with his squad being finished as he would in pre-season. I think we do honestly have a few cracking players in the squad and a side that should be competing for the top six. I think we need progression now. Adkins was good to come in after Bowyer and probably really lifted that lot up, but we need to accept that he isn't putting us in the right direction and make the change now. I say go for Sir Chris Powell and keep JJ and Yule on. Love the show. Keep up the amazing work. That's from Callum. Cheers for that, Callum. And then finally, Mike said, I think we have to ask ourselves a simple question that has three possible answers. And this is the same email I sent the other week. He's basically saying the same thing. Do we think we'd be higher with Nigel Adkins? About the same if we got rid of Nigel Adkins and had JJ... And the other existing or lower with JJ. So that's the question. And again, who knows the answer to that? It's you know, we can't look into a crystal ball, unfortunately. Right, let's have a look ahead to the game, shall we? On Saturday, we're making our way up to Fleetwood Town. A bit of press day again from Nigel Adkins today. I thought it was interesting to hear it from today, just to hear what his sort of state of mind is after Tuesday. Obviously, the fact he's been asked to do this press conference suggests he will still be here on Saturday. And it starts with some good news, actually, because he was asked how Jonathan Lecco is after he came off injured during the game on Tuesday.
We hope Jonathan's going to be fine for the weekend's game. So that's good news.
You've made a number of changes over a few games as well, a few games running. Is it too simplistic to say that better results can come if we have a more... consistent starting lineup over a sustained period? Is that too simplistic to say that?
No. I'd love to have a settled side. I said at the outset of the summer period, the objective for this season was to arrive at the start of pre-season with a team where we can work through pre-season. And for me, a settled side, history would suggest that you can name the team more or less that's got yourself promoted or won things. So we are striving for a settled side. We've got a large squad of players now at various levels of availability to play 90 minutes of football consistently Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. And we're working through that and we're getting stronger now on the back of that. So obviously, I've got a positive mindset and I'm looking forward, you know. So the players, we're going to be in a far better position as we move forward for the challenges that are faced during the course of the season. And we've just got to navigate our way through this period of time.
Everyone's looking for reaction, I'm sure you're the same, players are the same. Saturday, we head to Fleetwood, although only three places above us, they're on a six-game unbeaten run, four of them draws, obviously, but they do score goals. How do you assess, going into that game, the challenges that they're going to face us and how we deal with it?
Same as every team in this division, they've all got strengths, they've all got weaknesses. You know, it's a tough division. I think from a neutral watching... It's a great division to go and watch. And I think if you're a supporter, you know, whatever game you're going to be involved in, there's a likelihood to be goals. There's a likelihood to be different formations and different spells. And it should be exciting. So we go up to Fleetwood. You know, Sam is a vastly experienced manager as well. So we're expecting a real tough game, as I said, as we do from every game. But I believe we've got many, many strengths within our team as well. And we're working towards the next game, which is obviously the one up at Fleetwood.
There we go. That's Nigel looking ahead to the trip up to Fleetwood. Excellent news that Jonathan should be back in contention for Saturday, because that was a concerning thing. And obviously we can't really deal with a player like him leaving or getting injured again, because he was really lively, especially in the opening half an hour. Now, Fleetwood, Ben... not doing too well. In fact, they're just outside the relegation zone, as mentioned earlier. But they're on a little bit of an unbeaten run now. You know, if you take in all competitions, I think it's more than six. But it's six games in the league unbeaten. They've drawn their last three. Lots of goals in that. A 3-3 with MK, a 2-2 with Cambridge, 2-2 with Sunderland, 4-2 win at Rotherham, 1-1 at Plymouth, 3-2 win over Cheltenham. So expecting goals, well, at least at one end on Saturday.
Yeah, I see the same guy scored a couple of goals as well. Garner, is it? But I know they're not the same force as last year. I know they've not got the same money as they've had before. I think their manager's in a bit of... not their manager.
Yeah,
their
chairman's
owner.
In a bit of financial
he's in court,
isn't he? I don't know exactly what you describe it as.
Yeah, so I don't know what's happening there, but I know they've not got as much money as before and they've sold a few players on. But Simon Grayson's a good manager. He's an experienced manager. He'll get teams firing. But one thing I just take away from every interview before a game, which I don't think helps, is Nigel always says every game, oh, it's going to be a real tough game. And he praises their manager. He's got them up for it and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. League One is the most competitive I've seen it in years. There are some massive teams in this league. But when you're saying Fleetwood, who are 20th, is going to be a really tough game, are you saying that in the dressing room to the players before they go out? Mm. Because we should be going, because as Mark just said there, if you were to ask me the same question about are we going to get relegated, no chance. That team is so much better than where we are now. The players we've got are so much better than they are now. But are we instilling confidence in these players to go, I tell you what, Alex Gilby will probably start out. I tell you what, Alex, you'll have a great game today. You're going to go forward. You've got enough room there. You can play your own game. I don't know. Blackie Taylor, Jonathan Lecco, you'll have a field day down those wings. Keep going at those fullbacks. Blah, blah. Are we instilling confidence in these teams? Or is he telling those players, oh, it's going to be a real tough game today, boys? And they're looking at the table thinking, hang on, they're only just a few places above us. They're not doing much better than us. That's one thing I keep picking up. I reminded it from when Carl Robertson in charge. He kept saying that about every game. Like, let's instill some confidence. Let's tell these players, come on, you're better than this. We're going to get out of this. You're going to score today. You're going to keep a clean sheet because you are a better player than them.
Mm. I mean, but it would look strange if Nigel came out in public and say, well, if, you know, and Terry goes, right, Fleetwood, what can you tell us about them? And he came, they are rubbish. They are, if anything,
of
worse than us,
despite the
table position.
I just think just in every game he goes, well, it's going to be a real tough game. It's like, well, don't say that too much. Be like, well, every game's difficult in this league, but I feel confident that my team of players are going to be better than them on the day. And in all areas, we're going to prove we're the better side or something like that. It just seems like we're already conceding defeat. And then they go, well, I told you so. I told you they're a tough side. It's like, no, they're 20th.
Yeah, but we're 23rd. I mean, Mark, obviously the fact... I do wonder how much. I mean, not that our away form has been any better than our home form this season, but, you know, the fact there's basically going to be no Charlton fans there, about 300 or so hardy souls are going to be up there on Saturday, and God bless every single one of them. I'll see you up there, but the pressure might, in a way, a little bit be off because there won't be too many of us there sort of howling our frustration every time a missed pass goes, and maybe this is almost a chance to just start again just before the international break and just get a good performance into your system?
Possibly. You know, I think it's a mental issue now, more so than a physical one. And it's getting over that step. I mean, I don't know if they have a sports psychologist knocking around amongst the team there. I'd be surprised if they didn't. But I can't see... You know, you've got to respect the opposition. Because we all know on any day, any team can, in theory, beat any other team. Unfortunately, we're the other team being beaten. And I think we just look like red meat to a hungry dog at the moment. And the opposition managers are saying, right, they're down. You know, if you're at them in the first 10, 15 minutes, you get an early goal, they will crumble. And that's what we look like. So whether you say, right, let's put in the Warriors... It's going to sound funny, and we talked about it right at the beginning of the season and said we know why we had a choice. They had a choice of two players, and they kept Watson and Prattley went. If we'd kept Prattley and Watson had gone, I don't think we'd be in this position now, because I think he's the kind of player we miss, who is going to give everything for 90 minutes and not allow his teammates to disappear, as it were. But, you know, you can't go back in time and change it. You've only got to deal with the players you've got. And like I say, you've got to then say, right, these are the players. You're going to be starting. You know, you're going to start the game afterwards. I mean, changing it, don't worry about the pizza thing. Maybe that's a pointless trophy. So say, right, you're going to play, and that's what it's going to be. And you're going to be ones responsible. And you're going to be responsible for the game after. And so the players know, and everyone knows their job. And they won't be always chopping and changing. Am I in? Am I out? How much shaking it all about? I don't know.
Well, I'd rather you wait until after the pod to do that, please, Mark. But I was going to say then, Ben, I mean, very, very quickly, almost impossible to pick the side these days because there has been so many changes. But is there anyone in particular you're desperate to see start? I'm guessing Corey Blackett-Taylor will be up there. Leko, if he is fit enough to start, you'll be hoping there's some consistency there. But again, we'll find out if they're fit enough, I guess.
I'm just crying out to have Stockley and Davison up front together, in my opinion. 4-4-2, that's how we beat Crewe, our only win this season. It worked well. Davison's got legs around him and he's sliding in for goals. Brilliant. Loving that desire from him. But again, I said it last week, there's got to be a place for Jaden Stockley in that side. And there was that chance for Elliot Lee, I said earlier, was when Famwo picked up the ball and he was like, oh, hang on, I've got a bit of space here. Kept running. Played it wide, set up the chance, bounced to Lee. We nearly scored. And it's just like, if we can just find different parts of play, like bringing a ball forward and suiting different players, it works. And we've got to find a place for Jaden Stockley in that side. I mean, what? We brought him on with about 3 minutes to go on Tuesday. Come on. He's a good player. You get two wingers like Blackett-Taylor and Leko, have another winger on the bench. One of them gets tired like they did on Tuesday and feed those two up front. Let's try and go on the attack. We can't score and then sit back. It's not working. I'd like Elliot Lee to come on from the bench. I think he's a real good player. Reminds me a bit of Shinny. He's great dead ball. He can get a good shot away. His first touch is brilliant. But he just fades every game lately. He started a Gillingham game as well, and he just faded away. I'd personally like to see maybe Watson and Gilby in that middle, back and forth with Leko and Blackett-Taylor, the other side of Stockley and Davison. I think that'll work well. Just give us two up front. That's how we've won the game this season. Go with that again, please, and give Stockley a go. He deserves it.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've sent your messages into the show. Good luck to everyone who's going up to Fleetwood. Like I say, I'll be up there. If anyone sees me after the game and fancies doing some fans bar stuff, just come and speak to me and I'll do a quick chat with you after the game because I think I'm going to be the only one going up there. So I'll be looking out for fans to speak to after the game if you're up there on the train back as well, maybe. Thank you to Ben and to Mark for joining me this evening.
Lou, a favour. When you're up in Fleetwood, can you bring us back two sticks of rock and some petrol?
Yeah, they might be a bit concerned that I've got petrol on the train, but I'll ask. And yeah, good to speak
cheers,
to you.
Mate. Cheers, mate. Enjoy. Fleetwood's a great away day. Yeah. Terrace in and a roof.
Yeah. It's a little bit too far for my liking, but there we go. Right, thanks for listening then to the Big Match Preview. I'm Louis Mendes. We'll be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens against Fleetwood. We shall see you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.